Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Jonathan Walton, and this is Queen of the Con, The Unreal Housewife, Episode 7, a bonus episode, Jen Shaw and the Dropout.
The world works in certain ways until a new great idea comes along and changes everything.
What if you could test your blood in your own home? And what if it wasn't a whole vial, but just a drop?
That's a clip from The Dropout, an amazing Hulu series about Jen Shaw adjacent scammer, Elizabeth Holmes, a woman who conned investors out of hundreds of millions of dollars, tricking them all into believing that her company, Theranos, invented this little magic machine that could test for hundreds of diseases and ailments using a single drop of blood. It was like something you'd see on Star Trek. Walgreens, in fact, invested a fortune in Elizabeth Holmes and actually started installing these little blood drop test machines in their stores. Come to find out, they didn't work at all. The entire blood drop test machine was an elaborate hoax. Because as hard as Elizabeth Holmes tried to invent this thing, and she tried really hard, she just couldn't do it. She spent millions of dollars, hired and fired hundreds of talented scientists and engineers. She built dozens of prototypes, but ultimately, none of them functioned. But she pretended they did. She not only bilked investors out of millions in her insane quest, but testing her machine on actual patients caused massive misdiagnoses. And one of her employees actually committed suicide over the whole thing. In the end, Elizabeth Holmes got criminally charged and convicted of fraud and was sentenced to more than 11 years in federal prison. And guess what? Right now, she's actually serving time with Jen Shaw.
So, Elizabeth Holmes has asked to go to the same federal prison camp that Jen Shaw's at. This doesn't surprise me.
The amazing Emily D. Baker again, host of the Emily Show podcast.
It's the westernmost minimum security women's prison camp, which makes it easier for family to visit. And that's in Bryan, Texas. And we will see Elizabeth Holmes and Jen Shaw at the same women's prison for a substantial number of years. Do they write a book together? Do they start a business venture together? I want to know everything about the conversations between Elizabeth Holmes and Jen Shaw, because both of them have argued similar things. I was caught up in this. I was trying to prove myself as a woman in this field. The men around me were manipulating me. I didn't know that this was fraudulent. I believed in what I was doing. I didn't believe that this was harmful. They both have had very similar defenses in their cases. I had these horrible things happen to me in the past, and that is an excuse for what I'm doing now. I think there's a lot of similarity there. I am fascinated to see what happens. I wish they were filming a show. Is that terrible? Maybe it's terrible, but I want to know.
I agree. It's fascinating. But I do think at their core, they are different women, different criminals. What differentiates Jen Shaw from Elizabeth Holmes in my mind is Jen Shaw is a scammer, right? I don't think Elizabeth Holmes intended to be a scammer. I really do believe Elizabeth Holmes believed she could make this thing that could test a thing with a drop of blood. I think that because she kept hiring engineers to create it, and when they couldn't, she'd fire them and hire more engineers, and she kept trying. I do believe Elizabeth Holmes, in her heart of hearts, really did believe she could do it, and she just needed more time and more money, and lying to get it seemed like a decent price to pay, whereas Jen Shaw knew it's a scam out of the gate. I'm just going to ride this train as long as I can and suck all these people out of as much money as I can. I know this is all a lie. Whereas Elizabeth Holmes, yes, she lied and stole money and bilked investors, but I believe she believed she could do it. She could create this thing that would revolutionize blood tests all over the world and save lives. I believe she thought she could do it, but you know, that's not a defense.
But what's scamming investors, you know, scamming investors out of $400, $900 million and having patients get, her patients were getting results that showed they had cancer or didn't or were in remission or weren't. Yeah. The potential impacts, I think, of Elizabeth Holmes are broader than Jen Shaw because of the amount of people her scam reached, because it was getting put into Walgreens and Safeway. But with Jen Shaw, I wonder if she also believed that these are just shady marketing practices, that this isn't really criminal. Like, it's questionable. It's not wire fraud and money laundering. It's just questionable.
No, I know she knew it was so bad because look at her attempts to conceal it. Look at the offshore accounts and the mess. She knew it was wrong. She knew she'd go to jail for it if they caught her, and she tried her darndest not to get caught. Whereas, yes, Elizabeth Holmes knew lying to investors to get money was wrong, but in her mind, she was doing it for a noble cause, to invent this thing. And again, if Elizabeth Holmes was a scammer, she would have just taken the money and ran.
That's true. She did end up with nothing.
But she really did try. She had labs. She had teams of scientists hiring and firing the minute they couldn't invent this thing she had in her head. She'd fire them and replace them with others who could, from Apple, from Google, from whatever, you know, like she really did believe. She's crazy. I'm not saying she's not crazy, but I don't think, you know, she had more character than Jen Shaw.
You think there was like an altruistic narcissism to it, where it was I'm just crazy enough to believe I can change the world, and everyone was gassing her up. And she's like, so what if I have to change a few things and lie to investors about how it's happening? At the end of the day, the good,
it will be worth
it. The good
it.
Is going yes. to be worth it. So it's win at all cost versus scam at all cost, maybe.
I mean, and that makes her a little better, but definitely she's not a con artist. She just, you know, got carried away with a dream. Let me be her attorney.
I love that you're like, I can argue this for Elizabeth Holmes because I can see the altruism. Or
no, it's not necessarily poor Elizabeth Holmes. It's just that I don't think her intent.
She didn't go into it defrauding. She went into it with a purpose to make a change and defrauded to get to that purpose. Because when it became win at all costs, Her partner in his sentencing submission called her a zealot. He said she had a religious fervor to make this happen and was going to like basically cross any boundary to make it happen. Like, laws be damned. I'm going to force this thing into existence, which is a difference from Jen Shah, because it was also boundaries be damned. But the end result with Jen Shah was just financial. But where did hers go? Jen Shah seemingly also has nothing. Elizabeth Holmes in her sentencing submission said, but I've already lost all my stock options in my private plane. Cry me a river about your stock options. But they made the same argument that you're making in sentencing is, but she took nothing. She never cashed out the business. She went down with the ship and is now going to prison for going down with the ship. But it's not different than other venture capital that fails. Not everything that investors invest in becomes the next big thing. So it, and the people.
I'm not saying she's a good, I don't think she's a good person.
I think there's a difference.
I'm just saying motive-wise, her motives were never evil.
Her victims were more savvy. Her victims were, I mean, she was convicted of defrauding investors, not patients. I think a lot of the patients of Theranos were also victims here, but she was convicted of defrauding investors who are savvier than the victims of Jen Shah. Jen Shah was preying on non-sophisticated victims in order to perpetrate this fraud. Elizabeth Holmes was preying on much more sophisticated investors.
But I don't think she was preying on anyone. I really do believe, just like Sunny said, she was a zealot. She believed she could will this into existence at all costs, which I'm not saying is a good thing, but at least she has some kind of noble intent at the end of the day. As horrible as it turned out, as many disgusting things she did to get there or try to get there, she really did believe there was a there. Whereas a regular scammer like Jen Shah, who's so similar to every other scammer under the sun, they know there's no there. They're just going to lie, cheat, and steal to get as much money as they can in a short amount of time as they can get it and run away. Like, so there's the difference. I don't think Elizabeth Holmes is a scammer.
You make a good point. Elizabeth Holmes did not try to conceal what she was doing with Theranos. In fact, it went the other way. She was as big and bold in public as she could be, but behind the scenes, she was concealing that none of it worked. She was concealing how the processes were happening and lying about it to continue to get money from investors. So there was some concealment there.
As you know, the world can be a dangerous and unpredictable place. With every case I've studied, I've learned one thing. Your best line of defense is your vigilance and preparation. That's why I recommend SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe was named Best Home Security Systems of 2024 by U.S. News & World Report. They've got sensors that you can place on your doors and windows to detect break-ins, fires, and even floods. They also offer a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras so you can see what's going on inside and outside your home anytime, day or night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There are no contracts, and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/queen. That's simplisafe.com/queen. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
When she was threatened to be outed that she was not actually using her machine and was actually manipulating other machines, those people were fired and threatened. The way she sent David Boyce after the whistleblowers is horrific. So there was concealment from Elizabeth Holmes in a different way. But yes, I do think she believed that these were reasonable boundaries to cross. And what's cracking a few eggs to make an omelet at the end of the day? Because at the end of the day, I do think she believed she was going to revolutionize healthcare for everyone. But it was all lies and bullshit.
And there's a documentary series and a scripted series. But one of the things that stunned me, she would put on The Voice.
And now we know it was all an act, because Elizabeth Holmes, in this reworking of her life for the New York Times, has dropped The Voice and dropped the act. It was all part of the con. The persona was all part of the con.
But again, I would argue, yes, it was part of that con, but she was doing it because she knew she had to sound, you know, for lack of a better term, less feminine, more masculine to be taken seriously.
Because she was a 20-year-old college dropout. And all of her professors said, sweetie, this can't be done the way you're saying it. And she went, no, it can be done. It will be done. And I will do it. So I think the argument we're having is, was Elizabeth Holmes altruistically delusional into believing that what she was going to create at the end of the day would work? Where Jen Shah knew at the end of the day, none of this was ever going to work. These websites were never going to work. Where Elizabeth Holmes was chasing down something she honestly believed would work, and everyone who was telling her otherwise were just, you know, haters, non-believers, weren't drinking the Kool-Aid. But doesn't that just make her a cult leader? Like, at the end of the day, like, this is what's going to happen. Everyone says it can't happen. And she's like, but it can if you just drink the green juice and believe me.
I mean, so if the shoe was on the other foot, right? Let's say Jen Shah was in Elizabeth Holmes' position. There would be no Theranos. There'd be no laboratory. There'd be no scientists. There'd be no prototypes.
Right, because that's overhead. She would just be taking the money.
She'd just be taking the money and making up another story why this is not here or that's not there. Taking more money, taking more money. So again, it's a, you know, we're splitting hairs because ultimately both women did horrendous things and hurt a lot of people.
I think it's a great conversation, though, about the different kinds of personalities and the different kinds of cons. Where Elizabeth Holmes had this, I mean, both of them have this larger-than-life personality. I find Jen Shah more captivating than I find Elizabeth Holmes, but I think they both used the way that they could draw people in, different people, the way they could draw people in to perpetrate fraud. And Elizabeth Holmes knew she was perpetrating fraud. I just think she believed at the end of the day, somehow they would make it work and it would all be fine. And all the eggs that were broken would just go away, because that's really, isn't that how venture capital investing works? Isn't that how you do things when you're trying to create something new? You know, it's not really lying that it doesn't work, even though it was. Where Jen Shah knew it was lying, is what you're saying, and knew that at the end of the day, it never would work out. There was never going to be a turnaround. Exactly. That's your point.
Exactly. It was a scam out of the gate. And because it bothers me that a lot of people throw this term con artist around. They call everyone a con artist. But, you know, a con artist is a specific type of creature where they make plans to get money and it's all smoke and mirrors. Nothing really is true. Nothing exists. It's all just a scam. And you realize that and usually they get away. But they call Elizabeth Holmes a con artist. I don't think she is a con artist. She is a criminal. She lied and cheated investors, but she's not a con artist. Billy McFarland, Fire Festival guy.
Oh.
Everyone calls him a con artist.
You see him more like Elizabeth Holmes. Like, I can pull it off. Just give me a little bit more time. Give me a little bit more money. I can make it happen.
I did a deep dive into Firefest.
I'm and kind of obsessed.
I do believe he really did think he could do it. And he tried.
But at what point is delusion, I guess at what point is that criminal or not criminal? And that's...
No, it's absolutely criminal. I think he is criminal. What he did was criminal for sure. But he's not a con artist. Because if he were a con artist, he wouldn't have rented that island.
He wouldn't have
tents or sandwiches. He wouldn't be trying to get music acts and sign all these... Like, I think he was just a bad businessman who got carried away with his vision, like Elizabeth Holmes, and thought he could pull it off. If you just give him more money, more time, he could do it.
And it's interesting because with Elizabeth Holmes, a lot of what her lawyers argued was, really, this isn't fraud. This was dogged belief, and it doesn't amount to wire fraud because she believed what she was telling investors. She believed that she would get there. But what they showed is that she was also changing documents and manipulating data right. and lying about it. And yeah. those are the things that got her. But Elizabeth Holmes was not convicted of everything she was charged with. And so I think that the jury was also split because they were like, no, she was lying to investors, but she wasn't really lying to to patients. And so there was more of a split there, but she was also charged with a lot more crimes and a lot more money than we saw Jen Shah be charged with, because the people that Elizabeth Holmes was defrauding, she was defrauding them out of millions at a time, where Jen Shah was defrauding your more normal, average, everyday person, where when she's defrauding them for thousands and sometimes tens of thousands, it's all that they have. So she's taking a larger percentage of the individual's net worth, even though it's less of a chunk of money, where Elizabeth Holmes is defrauding less people of much larger sums of money. And it's interesting in the federal sentencing guidelines, the amount of money taken and the amount of victims and the age of the victims all kind of calculate into a sentence. And at the end of the day, Elizabeth Holmes just got binged for over $400 million in restitution, but she's only serving 11 years, the same as Todd Chrisley. And Jen Shah is serving 6. So, you know, the amount of time that they got is not so different when you look at it at the end of the day.
And Elizabeth Holmes went to trial.
She did.
Which, you know, just adds more weight to my belief. She really did believe she was about something bigger than herself. And she was, there is a certain, I love your phrasing, altruistic narcissism. Yes, I think that's what it was. But it wasn't a... She didn't intend to scam anyone. She really tried to create this thing. And she ended up scamming a ton of people to make this happen, and it never could happen.
She thought it was justified. And it was justified beyond her pocketing the money, is what you're kind of seeing there. I love this conversation so much because it really did stick with me when her partner called her a zealot. That was the words in his... It struck me. I've never seen anyone putting forth a sentencing memo to help someone and say that they had like a religious fervor to make it happen. Because then I was sitting there reading it going, wait, is Elizabeth Holmes just like a scientific cult leader? Like, this is wild to me that this is how he's likening her. But everyone who knew her in their sentencing memos pinned on what you're talking about. She believed that this would work at the end of the day, even though everyone was telling her no, even though it was an unreasonable belief, even though there was no objective criteria to support the belief, It doesn't matter. She believed it. And then she likened herself to people like Steve Jobs, who said, you know, oh, you can't make a cell phone like that. And he's like, I believe that we can. She's like, I'm doing the same thing. I'm making an iPhone.
And in a way, I mean, if you know anything about Apple and Steve Jobs, he is kind of Elizabeth Holmes.
And that's how she saw herself.
It worked out for him.
Right.
Because ultimately, he was able to piece together the right team to create the iPhone, to create the iPod. But she never could. Who knows? 10 years from now, they may invent this thing that can do all these tests from a drop of blood.
The investors wanted it to be true. The Theranos investors wanted this to be true. They wanted to be a part of something that would change the world. And I think they overrode their own red flags because they wanted it to be true. The same way Genshaw's victims overrode their own red flags because they wanted this thing that was going to change their own life. This opportunity to make some more money in retirement or make a little bit more money from home, to harness the power of the internet to make their lives a little bit better. All of these victims just wanted it to be true. So at the end of the day, did Genshaw ever believe it would be true for them? Maybe not. Did Elizabeth Holmes believe she could make it true for them? Maybe so.
Yeah, I think absolutely she did.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
She named her daughter Invicta, Latin for invincible, or unconquered. I mean, it says it all.
It kind of does.
That's Victoria Thompson, a journalist and executive producer for ABC News. She co-wrote and produced the Dropout podcast for ABC Audio and was an executive producer on the Dropout TV series for Hulu. She's been immersed in the Elizabeth Holmes saga for the past 5 years.
Some of it will never leave my brain as long as I live.
At this point, I imagine you know more than most about Elizabeth Holmes. You know more than anyone else on earth, I would wager.
Maybe not on earth, but Rebecca Jarvis and Taylor Dunn, who I wrote, reported, and produced both seasons of the podcast with, they know just as much. One of the more surreal experiences was when we were covering the trial and doing this weekly series on the sort of minutia of the week. The scripted series was shooting in Los Angeles. So we were kind of going from San Jose, California, to Los Angeles and, you know, seeing the real Elizabeth Holmes in this small courtroom and going to the set where it was being portrayed by actors. Sort of an interesting byproduct of that is we were getting all this discovery covering the trial, this cache of 5,000 text messages between her and Sonny. So we would go then back to the writers and say, oh my gosh, you know, we've just gotten all these very interesting text messages and, you know, nicknames they would call each other that then they would go back into the writer's room and start incorporating into scenes. So that was pretty cool.
I'm sure they loved it. Like the fresh original ideas they could just ping off of and create something amazing.
I think they loved and hated it. They were like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. but yes, I think that ultimately they were happy to have some, you know, the real life words.
Were you surprised Elizabeth Holmes went to trial? I'm sure her attorneys explained to her, and I learned this doing this podcast for the past few years, that especially at the federal level, if you're federally charged, there is a nearly 100% chance you will be convicted if you go to trial. They have such a high percentage of convictions because the feds have unlimited resources and they're not going to charge you unless they know they can win. So most people in Elizabeth Holmes' position would plead guilty to get half or less the prison time she ended up getting. Did it surprise you she decided to roll the dice and go to trial?
It did not surprise me. I think she has an unwavering kind of confidence in, you know, her innocence and really thought she was going to be let off and acquitted of all counts. So honestly, I would have been far more shocked if she had pled.
What's your take? Do you think Elizabeth Holmes is a con artist?
Well, I agree with you that at the beginning, she certainly did not intend to go out and defraud anybody. She really was incredibly ambitious. She had real drive to change the world with this revolutionary device that would help people around the world improve healthcare and really be kind of a true game changer for mankind, you know? And I think she believed that to her core. As the prosecution often would say in their arguments, where she's trying to create the product that will ultimately be what her vision, you know, intends. But she had this deadline, which was getting into the Walgreens stores, and she ran out of money. So as they kept saying as a refrain, she ran out of time, she ran out of money, and she started to lie. She then doctored pharmaceutical reports. She did things that, you know, she is now convicted of that led investors to believe a product was operating functionally and, you know, not just doing a number of tests, but doing hundreds of tests. The ambitions in the beginning were very noble. And then I do think she was rightfully guilty of fraud by the end.
Absolutely. She absolutely is a criminal. She is guilty. She did bad things. But in my mind, what differentiates her from a regular con artist like Jen Shaw or any other is, out of the gate, Jen Shaw's intention was to scam people.
Oh, yeah. I would not say they are the same at all. I mean, Elizabeth is a true, like, wide-eyed, dreamy, at the beginning was, yes, her intentions were pure. You know, there were red flags, though, even on the early end. Like, one of the favorite people we interviewed was Phyllis Gardner, who's this extraordinary professor who, you know, invented time release technology and pills and genuinely did change, you know, healthcare for the world. When Elizabeth went to see her as a sophomore at Stanford, and Phyllis Gardner was just like, what are you talking about? This, you know, it would be great if, as she's told us, you know, you could create a car that can fly or a car that can roll on square wheels, but that's not a real thing. And Elizabeth, you know, kind of famously brushed her off and just said, fine, on to the next, and went to another professor, Channing Robertson, who, you know, became one of her great champions and ended up being on her payroll. She did have this noble vision for sure, but she also had this kind of, to quote her favorite Yoda, there is no try, only do. So she really had this tunnel vision for success, you know, that I think astounded people around her, even at 19 years old.
And that is one trait both Elizabeth Holmes and Jen Shaw and every other con artist have in common: this bravado, this ego, this belief that they can do XYZ despite everyone telling them they can't or shouldn't. They know they can. They think they're above the criticism. They think they're above the rules, above the law. So she did have that early on, like, I can do this. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, she's a complicated person, like everybody, you know, her childhood and how that may have led to this person that she became. This image of Elizabeth on the running track in high school, and even though she's the slowest person on the track and she's lagging behind everybody, but she refuses to get off the track until she finishes the race, you know, way after everybody else is already off the track. She has this, like, I will not stop. It does not matter what the naysayers say. A kid who was maybe a little bit of an outsider in high school, didn't fit in socially, wanted to prove herself. She wanted to, like, prove to the world, to her family, to her peers, her parents, her professors, that, you know, she was extraordinary.
Would you categorize Elizabeth Holmes as charming?
I mean, it's impossible that she's not, because the way she was able to convince some of the most brilliant minds in the world that she was this true visionary, people who supported her till the very end. Everyone talks about this incredible charm she had, kind of, you know, looking at you right in the eyes and really just absolutely captivating in a kind of intellectual way.
And I do think those are the only two things Elizabeth Holmes has in common with Jen Shaw and other con artists: is A, the ego, and B, this charm offensive, that they can disarm people, intelligent people, people who, quote, should know better. They ignore the red flags. They ignore any skepticism they might have. And they just get on the ride and go with her, you know?
The list is insane. The Henry Kissingers, the Bill Frists, William Cohen, you know, George Shultz, former Secretary of State. Just an unbelievable array of people. One of the more interesting parts of the trial for us was seeing some of these men, mostly men, get up on the stand and describe, you know, their experience and their first time meeting Elizabeth. And, you know, even when the first Wall Street Journal article came out, they still didn't doubt her one bit. Just hearing, like, you know, Wade Millikan, Stephen Bird, Jim Mattis, I mean, Mad Dog Mattis, like one after the next of these guys getting on the stand and talking about her charm and her, you know, just how unbelievably impressed they were with her was pretty unbelievable.
It really does prove that famous Mark Twain quote, true, it's easier to fool people than it is to convince them they've been fooled. You know, even in the face of that Wall Street Journal report, these people believe Elizabeth Holmes. In light of evidence, she's a fraud.
Yeah.
And I think it's human psychology at the end of the day. It's not so much that they steadfastly believe in her in light of criticism and evidence against her. It's that it's hard for them to admit they were wrong. They don't want to admit they're wrong.
Absolutely. Yes. It's humiliating.
Yeah. In season two of Queen of the Con, we profiled con artist Lizzie Mulder. And I managed to speak to, even after Lizzie Mulder went to federal prison and served time and pled guilty, she had this ardent supporter who was a dog trainer who I talked to, and she's like, you all are just making this up about Lizzie Mulder. She's innocent. She didn't do anything. You all are. And I was just stunned that even after years of this woman pleaded guilty and served her time and got out, you still believe her? And then I was schooled by FBI criminal profiler Candace DeLong, who explained to me that basically, yeah, it's hard for some people to admit they were wrong. So it's not so much that they believe the con artist, they just can't come to terms with themselves being wrong, because in their mind, if they're wrong about this, they could be wrong about everything, and they don't want to face that. So they hang on.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Do you have any theories or opinions on why Elizabeth Holmes wanted to go to that federal prison in Bryan, Texas, where Jen Shaw is at?
I mean, I don't, just because we haven't spoken to anyone that has any insight into that. You know, they call it Club Fed.
And it's very similar to the federal prison where Martha Stewart served time.
as prisons go, it seems pretty manageable. I'm sure those sort of things weighed in.
I didn't know. They call it club fed. To me, that engenders kind of a, it's an easier place to do time than other prisons. I do remember pictures and photographs of Martha Stewart every now and then in the prison yard outside, hanging out with people. And by Martha Stewart's accounts, if I recall, she had somewhat of a pleasant time there. She made friends. She taught people how to sew.
Right. She was like the home ec captain. So I heard those Martha Stewart accounts too, but I've heard other prisoners say that it's not like that. It's a prison, that there are some unsanitary conditions. But I've definitely heard accounts that run the gamut.
Jen definitely wasn't taking in the overhead that Elizabeth Holmes had.
Emily D. Baker again.
Because we've seen in all the reporting and the reporting from John Carreyrou that Elizabeth Holmes was burning millions a month in trying to make this happen in payroll and in overhead and in scientists. She was running a business and then, as it wasn't going well, started lying about what was happening to float it. Versus Jen Shah, who didn't seem to ever take on that kind of overhead. All of Jen Shah's overhead went to people to milk money out of victims.
Exactly. Selling things that don't really exist.
Yeah.
That's the difference. A con artist sells things that don't exist. An Elizabeth Holmes, a Billy McFarland.
Selling the dream.
They believe they can do it. Yeah.
Selling hope.
I think when Elizabeth Holmes goes to prison and meets Jen Shah, and based on Jen Shah's ideation of putting a show together, in my mind, I suddenly see that old Ethel Merman song, anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. You know, like them doing a take on that for the inmates as entertainment one Friday.
I can see it. I can also see both of them commiserating how they were wronged, because I think Jen Shah sees herself more like an Elizabeth Holmes. Like, I was wronged. These are marketing practices. Maybe I lied in telling people how much they're going to make. I think that's how Jen Shah wants to see herself. And I just am very interested to see what happens here and if we end up seeing Jen Shah and Elizabeth Holmes becoming besties while they're in custody together, and whether we see that shared in the stories Jen Shah is doing on Instagram. Jen set up a website that you can pay monthly for access. I mean, who's giving Jen Shah their credit card number anymore? But you could pay monthly for access to kind of her diaries in custody. And she's been sharing those things on Instagram as well. And it's really interesting, but people are still curious. People are still interested.
Yeah.
And they want to know the rest of this story. And I want to know if Jen Shah and Elizabeth Holmes become buddies in custody or not. I mean, Elizabeth Holmes has had the New York Times article that's trying to reframe her as Liz. And so does she want to kind of steer clear and keep her head down? But you need friends in custody.
Only time will tell. Make sure you listen to our next bonus episode where I interview reality television impresario Carlos King, who actually produced several seasons of Housewives, and the incredible Kate Casey, a true Housewives expert and host of the podcast Reality Life with Kate Casey.
What's the latest you both have heard about what Jen Shah has been up to in federal prison?
She's running that joint.
I think she's found her bottom bitch. That's the woman, okay. Right, Kate? Yep. She's right. Found her bottom bitch. You haven't seen the end of Jen Shah.
She will be on reality television shows for the rest of her life.
If you're enjoying Queen of the Con, click that share button and send it to your friends and family. Also, if you can, leave us a 5-star review. Reviews really help other listeners find us. Queen of the Con, The Unreal Housewife, is a production of AYR Media and iHeartMedia, hosted by me, Jonathan Walton. Executive producers, Jonathan Walton for Jonathan Walton Productions, and Aliza Rosen for AYR Media. Written by Jonathan Walton. Segment producer, Gregory Harvey. Senior associate producer, Jill Pashesnik. Coordinator, Milena Krolyeski. Edited by Justin Longerby. Audio engineer, Justin Longerby. Studio engineer, Maximo Abraham. Legal counsel for AYR Media, Gianni Douglas. Executive producer for iHeartMedia, Maya Howard.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.